Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.
The Pure Blonde Beer Run is coming up Sunday, 20th September.
You know, that is actually my favourite drop.
Yeah, you love your Pure Blondes, don't you?
Because it's low carb.
That's it. And Australians have a little extra motivation to get active. This world first. Consumers will be able to exercise and then redeem their 6 kilometre run and get a 6-pack.
Well, if you run 6K, you get a 6-pack. So I'll definitely do that. So there's a 6-pack. Can you run 6K, Hive?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, of course you can in about 7 weeks.
Right, our next guest, he's all over this situation and apparently a fan of this show, superstar from Carlton and West Coast. Now we're retired so we can have a few pure blondes, is Chris Judd. Hello, Juddy.
G'day, gents. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful to have you on. Tell us a little bit about this operation and how you got involved and whether you've had a few pure blondes now you've hung up those wonderful boots of yours.
That's right. It's the beer of the man cave, pure blonde. But through an apparel company I've got a involvement with. We do some corporate stuff and gear for pure blondes. So they approached me to do a bit of promotion for them and was more than happy to get involved. So pretty good deal. 6Ks for a 6-pack. Just go to their website. Log your 6K run using Map My Run or one of the other GPS units available, and you can take that into Liquorland and get your 6-pack for free.
Now, Juddy, some of us can do that non-stop, obviously, and pick up a nice, easy 6-pack. Does it have to be done? Is it a continuous run, or can the Hive do it over 7 weeks?
And maybe ask for one.
There is time constraints. I think it's about six-minute K.
Oh, you've gone, Hive. No good.
I think Mick Molloy was toying with the idea of setting up the app while he was in his car and driving very close 6 a.m. through the streets. And, you know, technically I think that would work as well.
Juddy, wonderful to have you on. PureBlondeBeerRun.com. We'll have a bit more of a chat about it shortly. But you no doubt probably saw a bit of the footy last night. What did you think of the game? Pretty good win by the Hawks.
They're incredible, weren't they? Yeah, I mean, you just look at their list and you think sooner or later those guys are going to age and start slowing down, but they continue to get it done and, yeah, they were just super impressive. Just too clean and skillful in the end.
Juddy, while we're talking footy, I want to talk about your old team who played at night, West Coast. Been remarkable, and I know you still watch a little bit of the footy or certainly all of the good games. What they've been able to do with the injuries and the way they set up in defence and the way they guard space and cover for one another, and then with that attack, they've had a remarkable year.
Yeah, they have. It's the ultimate team game footy now, and the way they play, as you mentioned, their defenders, you look down the field and they're not really on anyone.
No.
So that courage to be able to come off and know your teammate's going to come off his man and cover for you, they've done an incredible job. And like you said, when... You know, Eric McKenzie went down and Mitch Brown as well. You know, they thought that was going to leave some holes, and I guess it has, but they've had other players step up, and, I think they're going to be too good for the Kangas tonight.
Chris, so much is made about the fact that the Hawks have had to go there twice in the last 3 weeks, but then flip side of the coin, the West Australian sides, as you well know, have to do that season in, season out. How difficult is it as a player in that environment?
Yeah, look, I didn't notice it too much in my first 3 or 4 years when I was, a very young player. But even in my last bit of time at the West Coast, when I was still only in my early to mid-20s, I started to notice it. And talking to the older guys there that finished their careers, certainly in the last, 2 or 3 years, they really felt the difference and, really started to weigh on their bodies a bit. But it's not insurmountable, but it's just another 1% that you've got to account for.
You would have had the pleasure of playing in front of that wonderful crowd. And there's been a couple of incidents that have come to light with the crowd last night. No doubt you saw a couple of blokes hanging over the fence. I was saying to Duck that you don't want to then just say the West Australian crowds are no good, because it was 0.00001% of what is a wonderful crowd over there. It's a shame they get tarred in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right. It's so often one or two people that make knuckleheads of themselves sort of tarnish the whole crowd. But of those 40,000... 39,950 would have been rippers, and there was probably 50 there who had too much to drink and carried on a little bit. But yeah, I think fans need to get involved and get passionate and scream and do what they like. But I think they've got to understand that they're not actually part of the game and what's happening on the field. And when they're really getting right inside players' faces, I think you just got to have respect for the players that are inside the arena and putting their bodies and reputations on the line week in, week out.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. We're speaking to Chris Judd. Check out www.pureblondebeerrun.com.au. You run 6K, Duck. They give you a six-pack of beer.
It is a beautiful drop, Howie.
It is. Now, Chris Judd is with us. Juddy, you've given the game away now. We've just had a chat about footy, but what are you up to in life now and how long before you got yourself off the couch and thought, I'm going to have to go and start contribute to society and to the bank account?
Yeah, well, I think as we touched on when we caught up, I've was planning on having sort of the rest of the year off after I retired and, you know, sort of going on a spiritual journey and really finding myself and what I want to do is with my life, Howie. But then
spiritual sort of journey?
My wife sort of gave me about a week respite after the operation and then she started lobbing small lists for me to start doing and I was, you know, chasing the kids around and running errands and was turning into my wife's PA and actually found myself getting a bit stressed being the wife's PA. You know, it's a pretty busy role. So, I had a mate who I'd done some stuff with in the past, approached me about working with him and took that on and, yeah, really enjoying working for a property funds management company out of St Kilda.
So don't tell me you're a 9-to-5 man, Juddy. You're not in sort of peak hour, sort of up at 8 o'clock peak hour man, surely.
I'm on the grind, Duck.
You're on the wheel.
That's right. But, look, there's a little bit of flexibility there and, you know, my role involves getting out of the office a bit, so I'm not trapped behind the desk all day. But, I've been really enjoying it and enjoying, being able to use my brain and do something a bit different.
Chris, we were speaking about the fact that you walked into the office and probably ducked the sort of property investment types. You're probably more your low-key, slightly boring customers. And Juddy walked in. It was like, wow, Juddy's here. How did you handle the transition? And did you have to sort of alter your approach to what you discussed during the day differently to what you would in a typical day at Carlton?
I did a bit of a speech at the Best and Fairest. I did mention, I did have to tone down what I spoke about, and then at the footy club you end up talking a lot about people's pubic hair and various other things. And I got back to the table after saying that and my wife was just shaking her head saying, pubic hair, really? You have to go there? So I've now just repeated it again, so she'll be wrapped. But look, it is a different environment, but I one of the things that you do enjoy about a footy club is just being able to probably be a little bit immature and pretty stupid and it's sort of an extension of your schoolyard days. And, that locker room banter is pretty funny stuff and something that I will miss.
Now, Juddy, talking about the Brownlow, it's on Monday night, dual Brownlow medalist. Will you?
You love the Brownlow Award, don't you, Doug? Respect for
Brownlow. No, I don't, because I never won one. but I want to know, you and Beck will be attending, yes?
Yeah, we'll go this year, yeah.
Yep, and looking forward to that. It'll be nice to go not as a player and actually enjoy it and sort of... you know, you can hang on the coattails of Beck now, who will clearly steal the limelight again.
That's right. I think after this year, I'm going to have a few years off going to the Brownlow, but I think Beck's still going to go over a year. So, yeah. It'll be a good night. I enjoy the Brownlow and get to catch up with the Carlton boys and some other people there and have a bit of fun. But it's a pretty busy week, grand final week. I think I'll be carrying on too much.
No.
Just as we let you go, Chris, I had the pleasure of sitting next to Chris at a function, which is what you're referring
you're a name
to.
Dropper. No, biggest name dropper ever.
Shoes on, Duck. Very Dancing with the Stars-like shoes. They're real high gloss black numbers. Well, it was a little bit leery, to be honest.
Really, that is a change because I've rarely seen him in a pair of shoes,
Juddy. But I thought that Juddy and my lunch was going quite well, and he was talking about property investment, and I'm interested in that area, and I was asking about certain things and who could get involved, and he said, "Oh, there's a discretionary situation for the sort of punter." I said, "What's the discretionary thing?" And he said, "Well, you need $100,000. And at that point, I thought, oh, well, that discretion has pushed me off the table, Juddy.
We target wholesale investors, Howie. judging by the way you addressed, I think you'd slip very comfortably into that category.
Hey, Chris, we really, really appreciate your time. Check out pureblondebeerrun.com. You run 6K, and the great people at Pure Blonde Beer will give you a six-pack. Best of luck with everything. Enjoy the Brownlow, and may your investments go north, north, north.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Ducky boy, every time at this time of year, Toyota do a wonderful thing, the legendary country farewell for AFL's retiring greats, the Toyota Retiring Legends Lap, where all these big names sort of get round and meet the people of the country. All sorts of people have been involved. Adam Schneider's been doing it. Jonathan Brown has done it for the last couple of years. Kane Corns.
Brownie retired couple of years
ago. Well, he's just such a country man that loves meeting people.
Come on, Brownie. And we know that he tunes into this show.
He does. He'll be listening.
Then.
He listens every week.
Come on, Brown Dog.
Tries to get a few tips on how his own radio's going.
Get off the back of the ute, Brownie. He just loves getting out to the country and having a couple of quiet ones with the country folk.
As does our next guest, no bigger legend, three-time premiership player with the Geelong Footy Club, 280 AFL games, one of my favourites, the chap Paul Chapman. He's down in Warrnambool, I believe, at the moment. Hello, Chappie.
That's correct. Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to speak to you, great man. A couple of weeks after it's all wound up, how are you feeling about the fact footy's finished? You must look back with tremendous pride.
Yeah, I do. It's look, it's been great. I haven't really slowed down too much, to be honest. As you said, I'm on this this tour around regional Victoria, and I've got a lot going on next week too. But then once the grand final's done, I'll sit back for a couple of weeks and not do much and, just enjoy retirement.
Hey, Chappie, being in a similar position to yourself, leaving a footy club where you have a lot of success and then going to another footy club, I often get asked the question whether it was a mistake and do I regret it. Do you regret going to Essendon?
Not at all. It's it was a tough couple of years, no doubt, and I would have loved to have helped Essendon more than what I did. I stepped into an environment where, I thought that, things weren't really going to be that bad. And obviously with the saga and how long it's dragged on for, it's really, dragged people down. And it's really affected players and the football club, it's been a tough couple of years. But, I'm really happy the fact that I went to Essendon and, I made some great friends and I'd like to think that I helped them out and the young blokes out a little bit.
My word, you did, Chappie. You go back to 2006 and things weren't looking that flash for Geelong. They were talking about sacking the coach early doors at 2007 and you lost a couple of games and there was talk that you went in there and delivered a couple of stern speeches. It's amazing how a club can go right on the brink of it falling apart to becoming one of the most dominant and wonderful teams to watch of its generation.
Yeah, look, and that's one of the most exciting things to come from probably a good club to then turning into a very good club or a great club. That was probably the most special thing. And it just shows how much of it is between the ears and how much you're willing to give, to your teammates and, maybe sacrifice your game a little bit, but just, for the greater good, just maybe sacrifice a little bit. And, that's the most pleasing thing is, we get to catch up at reunions now and we get to look each other in the eye and just see that the fact that, we did do that and it's going to be a special feeling.
Now, Chappie, as we said, you're doing the tour at the moment around the country. You're down Warrnambool way. Is Brownie there with you at the moment down at Warrnambool? Because he's the king down there. That's his hometown.
He's a king everywhere, to be honest, in rural Victoria. I met up with him at Hamilton and he was the king of the kids and everyone loves Brownie. And unfortunately, he had to take off, so I didn't even get to have a couple of beers with him. But, as you said, he's retired a long time ago and he's still doing this stuff. So he must be getting paid well or something.
Exactly right.
Chappie, we just had Chris Judd on and he's moved into sort of high-powered property development. Where is the chap going?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, at the moment, I have nothing really going on for me at the moment. I mean, I'm nearly qualified chippy, but I don't think I want to go down that field. At the moment, as I said, I'm just going to rest and enjoy my family time and try and get the body back to as best as it can be. And look, maybe coaching at some level, maybe even local level if it needs be, and start there. And maybe work my way up if that's what I want to do. So at the moment, I've got nothing really that I'm looking at, but I'll just, leave the phone open and hopefully get a few calls in the next few weeks and then make my mind up then.
Not a bad way to start, Chappie. A bloke by the name of Luke Beveridge started that way and has ended up becoming a very good coach in a short amount of time. Hey, are you writing a book? Is a book about to come out? Am I right?
That's correct, that's correct. Just finished writing the book, so it's just getting published now and it should be out by November, I reckon. It's called Believe It or Not, and it's obviously just a little bit about my childhood and growing up and, as I said before, about playing at Geelong and being involved in a good club but then turning into a great club and quality people that I've been involved with and the coaches and everything like that. So,
what's it called, Chap?
It's called Believe It or Not. So,
I would have gone with the bald and the beautiful for you, Chappie. That's the type of thing I would have gone with, I reckon. Now, Chap, before we let you go, best player you played with? I know it's tough, but I want one name.
Yeah, Junior. Gary Ablett Junior.
Toughest?
Probably Chris Johnson when I was young, very tough player.
Most annoying?
Josh Carr.
Hey, Chappie, as I said, I've always loved watching you play, as has Duck. Best of luck in the next stage of your career, and we'll be buying the book, The Bald and the Beautiful, or whatever it may be called.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great to talk to you.
And that is Paul Chapman, superstar from the Geelong Footy Club.
I know Jason Dunstall's favourite player.
Was he? Yeah,
yeah, love watching
he just
him
just turned it on against the Hawks week in, week out when they play them. Last night on Channel 7, alongside you, Duck, calling all the action, was Dennis Cometti. He'll be calling the second preliminary final tonight for Triple M Football. He joins us on the line from Perth now. Good morning, Dennis.
What a combination, Harry and the Duck.
Not as good as Dennis and the Duck, I can assure you. I really enjoyed the coverage last night. Congratulations, Den. You've woken up in Western Australia this morning.
Oh, good what's, feeling, too.
As he does every other morning, just about, Howie.
What's the mood?
3 days a week I wake up over there, Duck.
Yeah.
And they're your best 3 days, Dennis. Don't worry about that. Now, what's the mood over there this morning? And no doubt a lot of attention towards tonight, but I guess some disappointment as well.
I think they're moving on. That's the phrase they use. They're moving on. They're disregarding what happened last night. A lot of glum people. Now, I was just talking to a guy. That's why I missed an earlier call. I was out in the backyard talking to a fellow looking after the reticulation. Things go on. Life goes on. And he was talking. He's a Hawthorn supporter, actually, and just talking about the mood of the city and how a lot of people are disappointed, but he wasn't. And I think just reading the papers and what have you this morning, they fully expected the locals that there would be an all-West Australian grand final. Well, that's not going to happen. And Hawthorn, just one of the best teams we've ever seen. I thought they bounced back terrifically well last week and they gutted it out last night.
Hey, Dennis, Ross Lyon in his post-match press conference last night more or less said that he has to improve as a coach and has to get better in the way they play. Do you obviously agree with that?
Well, I've got to kick more goals, don't they?
That's exactly right.
Would they look at Steve Johnson, do you reckon? And would Steve Johnson be even interested in moving interstate? That's one thing I've thought of. I get too much spare time these days, but I thought that Johnson would be a pretty good fit for this team, but I would think the Pavlich is going to go. The Pav won't be there much longer, and that's going to be a problem up forward. If they can't kick goals now, and he's not contributing too many anyway, but I took from the game last night, and I said so during the broadcast, that sometimes it's no shame to be not the best team in the competition if the best team's a great team. I think back to Rocket Eid when the Western Bulldogs made three consecutive preliminary finals and lost them all, but there were better teams around at the time. And I think the Dockers are caught in that time warp at the moment. Hawthorn are just a great team. And if you're playing at the same time as Hawthorn, it's a problem.
Yeah, you're the Stewie McGill to the Shane Warne in some ways, aren't you, Dan?
That's right. And, you know, people talking about his legacy and everything else. What he said is right. I mean, he can improve. But I'm not sure that this team is going to improve. And looking at those faces last night, I think a lot of them realised that that may have been the last go-round for the Dockers being a top side, at least with this generation of players.
Has there been any discussion this morning about the fitness of Nat Fyfe? Obviously, there was a lot of talk then, but he did get a nasty whack on the leg, and you can't prevent that happening in your game of football. In the end, he played a really, really good game of footy, but he looked like he was struggling, especially in that second term.
It was an amazing sight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just watching him hobble around like that, you would assume, I'm certain, that they knew what they were doing, the Dockers. The medical staff would have been right on top of that, and they would have known coming in what was going to happen. But having said that, you just hope there's no long-term problems, even for the next month or so, because he just didn't look right from the get-go. He finished better than he started, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Looked much better after half-time. On to tonight's game. Do you give the Kangaroos any chance, Dennis?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Wayne? What do you reckon?
Oh, no, I give them a chance at $5, and I think West Coast are $1.20. Someone's had $150,000 on West Coast this morning at $1.20.
Right.
So they're pretty confident. But I think they match up really well. And the fact that the Kangaroos, Dennis, have got a couple of stoppers. Jacobs will probably go to Shuey. Then you've got Gibson, who will probably go to Gaff. And clearly Goldstein matches up pretty well against Natanui. So, you know, it's certainly not that big a gap, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I saw their last game down in Hobart. That was a remarkable game because of the wind. Goldstein did a terrific job on Natanui. Just blocked his run as he was approaching the ball around the ground. Centre throw-ups and bounces are a little bit different, but Goldstein, a wonderful season, so he's got nothing to fear there. That will be a pivotal duel, I would think, They both have similar strengths, these teams, don't they? I mean, they've got powerful forwards and both a little bit weak at the back. I think the on-ballers might be better for the West Coast Eagles, particularly over here, and I think their crummers on the forward line might be better as well. So I'm favouring the West Coast Eagles, but no matter what happens today, both these sides will have a tough order next week. I think suddenly everything has turned on its head after last night, and if anyone thought the Dockers were going to get through, well, that was put to bed. And Hawthorn will start the red-hot favourites next week for the grand final, whichever team comes through now. I think it's a different kettle of fish for West Coast, who played out of their skins last time against Hawthorn to win in Melbourne.
Now, Den, we're going to hear countless times this week, it's just any other game. We take it the same. We just play it as a normal game of football. For the great Dennis Cometti coming into calling the grand final, is there anything any different? Do you go away from your routine or do you just stick to your structures and processes, Den?
Oh, well, Harry, I'm considering it at the moment. I'm just doing a list of things I need to do. Look, my rhythm has been disrupted. I think I could go in underdone. I could go in lethargic because I'm just... It's a lovely warm day over here. Two preliminary finals in Perth. When I get to Melbourne, I might think I'm on holiday.
Well, it's going to be, you won't actually. It's going to be 27 they're predicting next
really?
Saturday, Dennis. Yeah.
Oh, good for the parade on Friday, is it? That parade, I'm looking forward to that too. Although now it might get a few more along. Was that, whose idea was that? That was the incoming government.
Yeah, that was the Andrews, the Premier. Now, as we let you go, Den, famous in your heyday at the first stint at Channel 7 about wearing the leather strides. If the Hawks go three in a row, are we going to see Cometti in leather pants?
I can't promise that. What I do think is pretty good, though, is the duck. I mean, he's like a pro wrestler. He's got these great recuperative powers. He's caught the midnight plane. He's done a full day's work yesterday, and he sounds very good.
He's just a phenomenon, Dennis. He's a phenomenon.
Thanks,
he's a professional like your good self.
Got a little bit
like
of
yourself, Howie. Well, we're just back slapping here. It's good to talk to you guys, and Duck, I dare say I'll see you later in the day.
Well, so good to talk to me that you asked Ducky's opinion three times and didn't bother with mine, Dennis, but I can understand that.
Now, Howie, it sounds ridiculous. Me sort of pontificating, and the Duck, one of the greatest players, well, in the best four I've ever seen, sitting there, and I'm telling him what I think.
No, we love it, Dan. We really appreciate your time. You're a busy man. Have a fantastic call on Triple M Footy tonight.
See you, guys.
Duck, a big story developed last night at Domain Stadium where, well, there was an assault took place in the stands. A young lady who we're actually about to speak to on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M, involved with a member of the crowd. There was a video taken, I believe it was on a mobile phone. You can see it on triplem.com.au. This is a little bit of what unfolded at the footy last night. That was the audio last night from a really disturbing incident. A lot of people have seen it this morning at triplem.com.au and various places around in the media. It's been over the news, Duck, the incident between a young lady and a Fremantle supporter at Domain Stadium last night. Now, the young lady in question is now on the line that was involved in this incident, Duck. We're going to call her Sarah. For privacy reasons, that's not her name, but she joins us on the line now. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
How are you, Sarah? Are you okay?
Yeah, look, I'm fine. A little bit battered and bruised and a bit shaken, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Sarah, it was a really disturbing incident to watch. We woke up to see it this morning. Can you tell us exactly what occurred? You're off to the footy last night. Take it from there.
Yeah, so it was the first time that my stepdaughter, who's 8, has gone to the football, so we're all really excited. I had her, my 13-year-old son, and my partner with me. We're all sitting there, they're Hawthorn supporters. And we were sitting obviously in a big group of Fremantle supporters, and up until this point it had been a great fun night with everybody interacting and having fun and making jokes, and it was enjoyable. And then late in the last quarter, the supporter that was 4 seats up from me got really agitated and irritated that his team was losing, and suddenly just lost it, and he jumped up and was screaming and shouting and swearing, and lots of people around him were asking him to sit down and trying to placate him, but he couldn't be calmed down at all. So he was trying to tell people to come and fight him, and you know, I was a bit worried. Lots of people had gone up to some of the Domain staff, event staff, and asked him to be ejected, but for some reason that didn't happen straight away. So when he started walking towards me, I just knew that I had to stand between him and my kids. And I said, mate, you need to just sit down. You're ruining it for the children here. And he said, I don't give an F about the kids. Rah, rah. I'll smash anyone who comes near me. I said, just take a seat. Watch the rest of the game. You're really scaring my kids. And he said, I don't give an F about your kids. I'll smash them too. And that's when he struck me in the throat.
So he physically hit you with a fist, Sarah?
No, it was actually with, if you can imagine, he had his hand open with his thumb out, and it was the webbing between his thumb and his first finger. So it was actually like a choker hit.
And what happened after that? As I said, we've seen the video on triplem.com.au, and it's I find it a little bit awkward to ask you these questions, Sarah, because it looked so horrible, and you've told us you're okay. What happened immediately after that?
Well, I just went flying, and you know, I'm 5'11". I'm not exactly a lightweight. I went flying, and then the crowd around he and I just sort of erupted and jumped on top of him, and yeah, they were just making sure that he was going to be dealt with by the police.
Sarah, the kids...
We tumbled around the chairs and we fell down several rows. It was quite violent.
Sarah, the kids okay, and how are they this morning also?
Look, at the time, obviously absolutely terrified. My 13-year-old boy, who, you know, likes to think he's quite tough and brave, was shaking like a leaf. And my 8-year-old stepdaughter was just beside herself, inconsolable. Today, obviously, they're quite shaken still, but very pleased that there's been so much support about what's happened for them.
What
but
do you,
my 8-year-old stepdaughter will never go to the football again, she tells us.
Oh, that's sad.
Sarah, what do you think should happen in this situation? There's a lot of discussion about the crowd and behaviour. You're obviously gone to the footy now. Your stepdaughter doesn't want to go. You don't feel safe. What do we need to do in a situation like this? Because there's going to be a lot of discussion about what should happen as a result of this. What do you think?
Look, I know that this particular person had gone back and forth to the bar a number of times. Each quarter, he must have passed us two or three times and come back with a tray of at least four drinks. And there was only he and his girlfriend sitting there. So alcohol obviously played a part. I would really like to see the introduction of some sort of alcohol control at the game. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's only a two-hour game. Surely you don't need to be consuming 12, 14 beers in 2 hours. Apart from that, look, you know, each individual is responsible for their own behaviour, and this guy was out of control.
Hey, Sarah, listen, we really appreciate you jumping on the line. Our best to you and your young children and your family in general, and hopefully you can all put this behind you and physically and mentally pull out of it and enjoy some more time at the footy. We're glad you're okay, and thanks for having a chat with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Sarah, who was involved in that incident last night. We'll come back and talk about that, Duck, because I'm not too sure what to say at the moment. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Melbourne Storm take on North Queensland Cowboys tonight in a preliminary final. The Broncos got the job done 31-12 last night, so Wayne Bennett and his boys are through to the big dance. And when we talk rugby league, there's only one man we can get on. His name is Robbie Kearns, or as you said...
King Kearnsy.
He's on the line now. Hello, King.
G'day, boys. How are we?
We're excited. Before we get on to the Melbourne Storm, the Broncos and Wayne Bennett, 31-12 last night. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, very impressive game. Obviously, two big wigs of the competition at each other last night. And a lot of so-called experts were predicting the Roosters would come away there. But home ground advantage up there at Suncorp Stadium, I always thought the Brisbane Broncos would most probably get the win. But yeah, it was a great game of football. Got off to a great start, the Brisbane Broncos. One of the Roosters boys for an intercept within the first minute. It was basically playing sailing for me for the Brisbane Broncos. But it was a great game of football, and Brisbane Broncos through to their first grand final in 9 years.
Wow, it's the first one in 9 years. Wow. Well, yeah, don't worry about that one though, Kearnsy. Let's just let's focus on the big one tonight. It's a massive game. Is it as simple? The Cowboys, very talented team, but is it as simple? Stop Thurston, stop the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, he's an absolute superstar of our game, Duck, and similar to yourself and the great Robbie Kearns. But
oh, Kearnsy!
Third person word, Kearnsy. That's why we get him on, Duck.
Just getting ahead of myself there, boys. But, mate, he's an absolute superstar. More than likely going to win his fourth Dally M this year, which is obviously the equivalent to the Brownlow. But last week, he actually, whilst he had an outstanding game, the three guys that would have got the man of the match had they handed out three of them were the three big forwards in Matty Scott, James Tamalolo and Jamie Tamo. So those three guys were absolutely outstanding last week. And it just goes to show, if we could stop those guys, it really sort of nullifies Jonathan Thurston and his attacking game. So, mate, we've got a big challenge ahead of us. They're an outstanding football side. Similar to last night, unbelievably, that the so-called experts are saying the Cowboys are going into this game as favourites, despite the Melbourne Storm, you know, winning straight through to the prelim and being a home ground advantage. So it's going to be one hell of a game, and I can't wait for it to kick off tonight.
Robbie, we had a great treat last week on the Dead Set Legends when Craig Bellamy gave us a little bit of his time. Every time I see, as a casual observer of rugby league, I have a look at the Storm squad each year, and there's always probably four or five blokes coming to the side that I don't know, and I read a little bit about them, and they're young blokes, or they're the old term journeyman, and somehow he manages to get such a wonderful squad going. What is so, you know this man very well, why is he such a good coach, and how does he continue to get his team up there when often there's quite a few no-names, for want of a better term, and the greatest possible respect in a squad like this?
Yeah, the Melbourne Storm have a great reputation. Obviously, Craig Bellamy's at the helm of that, of bringing the best out of any player in the competition. You know, obviously blessed to have the likes of Billy Cameron and Cooper there, but I mean, there's so many young guys. You talk about Tim Glasby, the Ryan Hinchcliffe of the world. Mm. Brian Norrie, who's not there now, he went on to win a premiership in 2012 under Craig Bellamy when he was basically a reserve grade player. He only got man of the match in that game, actually. But, yeah, I mean, Craig Bellamy, he has a wonderful relationship with all his players, and he basically is a very simple coach. He basically gives you a job to do, and if you're not doing it, well, you won't be playing first grade. And, you know, the guys, you know, we've got 35-odd players sitting, waiting in the wings for their opportunity, and he just gets the guys playing at their best. And at the Melbourne Storm under Craig Bellamy, you'll know you'll play your best football. And that's exactly what's happened to not only the current group of boys, but it's happened in the last 13 years under Craig Bellamy's reign. So he's an absolute superstar coach, champion fellow, as you guys would well and truly know. And fingers crossed the boys can do a job for him here tonight.
Actually, it's a good point you make, because clearly Wayne Bennett is one of the other super coaches of the competition, and he's clearly got the best out of the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was lots of talk at the start of this year that, with Wayne Bennett going back to the Brisbane Broncos, they had a really good young list, and they thought most probably take 2 or 3 years to really sort of work out exactly where they're at and to obviously reach their potential. But it's come a little bit sooner than expected. I was only talking to Stephen Tooney this morning, the assistant coach of the Brisbane Broncos. And I think they were sort of caught by surprise how well they've gone this season. So, anything's possible for those guys. They've got a couple of young halves playing out of their skin in Anthony Millthorpe and Ben Hunt, two great players. And, so it's just one of those things, guys. Obviously, they're through, and they'll be sitting back in their armchairs tonight waiting to see the Melbourne Storm and North Queensland Cowboys go at each other and hopefully bash the living daylights out of each other.
That's it. Just quickly, Kearnsy, what can I expect tonight, mate? Are you going to roll out the red carpet?
Red carpet for you, my man. You are the main man here in Melbourne, so you keep telling me. No, it's going to be a fantastic night, Duck. We've got the mighty Kearns Lounge is full to the brim. We've got about 300 people in there, and we'll be getting full of frothies and cheering on the Melbourne Storm.
Robbie, mate. Listen, we really appreciate your time. Have a wonderful night tonight. Keep Duck on a very, very short leash, and good luck to you and the Melbourne Storm.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for your support.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.